Okay, this is an interview with Reverend Luisa Cabello Hansel, and it is on March 25th, 2003, at the Iglesia Nueva Creación at
162
West Tioga Street.
Okay. In Philadelphia.
Okay, so some of the questions start out very simple and then they get more reflexive. So what is your full name and your age?
Okay, I am Luisa Cabello Hansel, mm-hmm. and I am 49 years old.
49, and so you were born?
53. Mm-hmm. In August will be 50.
Wow.
I'm going to be 50.
That's, you have to have a what do they call it? Not a quinceanera, but a...
50-añera.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
How many people are in your immediate family?
With my husband, Patrick, mm-hmm. and my two girls, Natasha, who is 11, and Talia, who is 2.5.
Okay. And how would you describe the work that you do?
I am a pastor at New Creation Lutheran Church, and what I do basically is to spread the word of God, mm-hmm. and look for a transformation in the lives of those who are here, including myself, and the life of our community. And I play a leadership role in promoting what I believe it is closer to the will of God for our lives.
Okay. Where are you originally from?
I was born in Santiago in Chile, mm-hmm. and I lived there until I was 19, and then I moved to Mexico. I live in Mexico for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
In between, I went to Brazil, Argentina, and I went back to Chile. And in 88, I came to the United States, and I live in the Bronx in New York.
Okay. Let's see, what were your reasons for leaving your home country?
I married a Mexican man,
okay.
and I moved to...
Casey was looking for you. Did you talk to her?
No, I didn't see her.
Earlier.
Okay.
So when you get a chance, just knock on her
window. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What,
what were your reasons for leaving your home country?
Well, I married a Mexican man, and... I moved to live there. That was a little before the coup in Chile. Even when my marriage was very short-lived, we were married less than 2 years,
mm-hmm.
I didn't come back to Chile because basically I was afraid for the political situation there. Then I continued living, studying, and working in Mexico.
Okay. Let's see, where, when you came to the United States, what was your point of entry, or where was your destination?
Okay, I came to New York, then I was going to live in New York,
mm-hmm.
and I came through that city.
So you came direct to New
mm-hmm.
York?
Yeah.
And why did you choose that destination?
You know what?
I know why. But
yeah, you know why? Because now I married an American man. That
right.
is interesting.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think about this that way. Yes, I married Patrick, and he was living. I was during that time. I was living in Mexico. He was living in the Bronx, and we both were serving in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and which is we decided. To live here instead of there.
Okay.
Then I moved here to be with him, to get married with him.
So how specifically did you get to the United States? I mean, how did you come over?
Simple airplane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legally.
Legally, so yeah. There was no confusion.
I was before issue. In the United States, and I had a permanent visa.
Okay.
Then I had no problem coming here. Right. The problem was to stay, of course. Then right. I had to change my immigration status.
Mm-hmm. Are you a citizen now?
No, I am not.
Uh-huh.
I am not.
Is that something that you will try to do, or?
You know what? I am a Mexican citizen, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to lose my Latin American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Then I didn't want to get the citizenship here, but right now I can keep both. Then I am planning to get the American citizenship and keep also the Mexican one.
So keep your dual, so you have the
now
dual citizenship.
Now it is possible, since a year or a little more.
Right.
Ago. Yeah.
Okay. So how long have you been in Philadelphia?
9 years.
9 years. And mm-hmm. what brought you to Philadelphia?
My husband was called to start this church. This was an empty building.
Mm.
It used to be a German church here that closed, and because the neighborhood changed radically, it became mostly Latin American, Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lutheran church decided to start a new mission here, and they invited us to come here to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
Then Patrick was a pastor during that time, and we decided to come. While being here, I went to seminary,
mm-hmm.
and I became a pastor in the year 2000.
Okay. Did you go to seminary here in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which seminary is
it? It's the Philadelphia Lutheran Theological Seminary in Germantown.
Okay. That's interesting that this... you see it all over, but that this was a formerly, like you said, a German community, probably German immigrants, and
yes.
then but things
yes.
change.
Yeah.
And that happens all over the city.
It is. And now when we go to visit other churches in the suburbs, mm-hmm. we always find people who used to be members here
mm-hmm.
or who had some family member who right. was a member of the church.
Right.
Because this used to be a really important German Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I suppose, 40 years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where in Philadelphia do you live?
In Olney.
In Olney?
Olney.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in that house the entire time, or have you lived in other parts of the city?
No, we live just in Olney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Olney to live in?
Because the church was near to Olney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you describe a typical day in your life in Philadelphia?
I don't have many typical days,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Or a given day.
A given day. Well, for example, I can start in the morning with a meeting. We have a meeting, pastor's meeting, every Tuesday, where we study the Bible lessons for the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, I come here. I can do some visiting around,
mm-hmm.
Paperwork. And at 3 o'clock, children come,
mm-hmm.
and they start. The church is full of people coming in and out, and I have to, for example, look that they have lunch,
mm-hmm.
Have meetings with the staff, see that they have what they need, organize
mm-hmm.
this. And after that, I may have a Bible study with the adults or something
okay.
like that.
When you say visiting, like around the neighborhood, visiting
yes.
community
visiting
members?
Visiting community members, people in the hospital, uh-huh. or, yeah.
So, and then what about home?
We divide, my husband and I divide the activities. It is a very, stressful point to be able to be in church and at home.
Mm-hmm.
because both are very demanding works.
Right.
And probably this is the biggest struggle in my life, mm-hmm. because the church can consume more than 100 of my
right.
time, 100% of my time, mm-hmm. and my home the same.
Right.
Then I need to struggle in keeping a balance
right.
between the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you describe a day that you remember, what might be a given day in your homeland? Or, you know, it's maybe a day that that you remember most, or some memories of home.
Hmm.
I guess for you they would be from when you were young. I mean,
I left very young, and I am thinking one big day for me was when my daughter was born, my oldest daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
We adopted my daughter in Chile, and my entire family came together, and we were not together for a long time. Then that was a day of joy and celebration. Going a little farther or a lot farther,
mm-hmm.
I remember before I left Chile, when still there was a gender in power, and going to a demonstration that mm-hmm. was just amazing, like a million people more walking in the street and shouting and singing and with a lot of joy and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And still with a lot of innocence about
right.
what was coming.
Was it, you were fairly young, I mean, you were a teenager then, right?
Yes.
Was it typical for people your age at the time to be politically?
Absolutely. Chile was a country but highly politicized. I remember having political discussions when I was 7,
uh-huh.
8, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it's not that I was an unusual child.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people in Chile talked so much about politics. It was everyday discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly after the Unidad Popular came to power, it became even more.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but before, you know, Chile had such a wonderful democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talk a lot about politics.
Okay. What kind of ties do you maintain with your home
with
country?
With my country? Mm-hmm. Well, my entire family, biological family, is in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, both of them, and I have 3 sisters with married with children.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have basically my entire family there.
Wow.
And I keep in contact with them. We call, now we mail all the time.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And in spite that we are so far physically, we are very close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we continue just a long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So does...
But,
uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
It's just I feel that Mexico is also home.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I lived there for so many years and my adult life, you know, I went to college there, I started working there,
mm-hmm.
and then I had this job with the communities in Mexico that was so rewarding for me. Then I have deep ties with Mexico, and I mm-hmm. miss Mexico a lot.
What kind of ties do you have there?
People in the community mm-hmm. where I work, you know, women I saw coming out of terrible situations,
mm-hmm.
becoming powerful leaders
mm-hmm.
and loving people. And I know that I have a home there always,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. These are poor people.
Right.
Some of them extremely poor people. And I know they will be willing to right. offer me what they right. have, and I love them dearly.
Uh-huh.
And I miss them.
How do you keep in touch with that community?
It is very hard to keep in touch with them because even the community had not very clear boundaries to send letters. I have occasional contact with the people who know them
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And when I go there, unfortunately, I have not been there in many years, but if I go there, I will go to their homes. I know where they live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting because that's the way people that come from different parts of the world keep in touch. We don't have the direct, or there's not the direct email or necessarily telephone.
Yes.
And time is different. You know, the way time is measured seems to be different in other places. So it's not a sign of any kind of neglect, or people know that...
Or lack of care. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
We can extend this to both Chile and Mexico.
And Mexico.
Uh-huh. What are the things you missed most about each place?
Well, about Chile, my family, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The mountains... I have nostalgia for the mountains. They were so part of my life, you know, every day to see these huge mountains and the ocean. I like people's generosity. Mm-hmm. People in Chile are so hospitable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I miss my language. This sense of freedom of speaking without thinking twice, you know, what you are going to say, not translating, but straight speaking my language. Mm. The smell, the food, of course, uh-huh. the pastel de choclo, las empanadas,
uh-huh.
music, I miss music so much, because it is... here you don't hear music from South America.
Right.
You may hear from Caribbean or even Mexico, but you don't hear music from Chile, Argentina,
right.
or that I really like.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I miss people first than anything,
mm-hmm.
but I miss also the beauty of Mexico, the colors,
mm-hmm.
this sense that in Mexico you can go to any in any direction and you are going to have a beautiful place,
mm-hmm.
and you can go close or far and always there is a beautiful place to visit and rich and wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Then I miss the language, the music and the people. I love Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And the food?
And the food, but they think I have food, Mexican food I have here.
Right.
It is more accessible.
Right.
And I prepare some Mexican food too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Do you think that we can continue here or we better?
So, Luisa, are there things that you do with your family to stay in touch here culturally with either Chile or Mexico? For your daughters, mostly.
We work with Latinos. Then mm-hmm. we are totally immersed in the Latino culture, which is not Mexican or Chilean, but
right.
But it's still Latino.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
How do you personally maintain your culture or your roots, if there's if anything?
Well, my sense of identity, I think it has been changing with my experience of life, because I left Chile when I was so young and I experienced this loss of my Chilean identity, and that was really scary actually,
mm-hmm.
and difficult. But then I came to realize that, especially when I came to the United States, that my identity is more like a Latin American person.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel very clear about that. I am very proud. But it seemed to me in some way that I really don't belong to Chile anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't belong to one specific place.
Okay.
But I am very clear about my Latin American
mm-hmm.
Identity.
Right. So I don't that might make this next question irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Are there aspects of your daily life, or rituals, or anything that you do that keep you connected to, you know, either Chile or Mexico, or like you said, your whole sense of your Latin American, Latino-Americano identity?
It's interesting because in spite of so many years away from Chile, I keep having the same breakfast every single morning, which is coffee with bread with cheese, same thing.
Uh-huh.
And food is something really important in terms of keeping our identity, I believe. I cook sometimes, Chilean or Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
We go out to eat, you know, to Tierra Colombiana or to El Azteca. We go sometimes to celebrations, you know, the Mexican days and Penn Landing.
Right.
I don't know if I have other kind of rituals, I am thinking.
Or practices.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Something important, actually, is I was thinking during Christmas, we do the posadas, which is something that is Mexican. And it is, I feel that they keep me kind of close to that tradition. We celebrate Three Kings.
Right.
You know, it's a big celebration here in church. And we give to the kids, which is something in Mexico that, and Puerto Rico also, that people give a lot of importance.
Right.
But we sing every Sunday music here in the church that is Latin American, you know, from all countries in Latin America.
Okay. That's, so you sort of answered the next question already. When it was, are there any places in Philadelphia where someone could experience any kind of aspects of your Chilean culture or that you know
Unfortunately,
of?
For example, there is no restaurant from Chile in Philadelphia. I really don't. I have a few Chilean friends, but no.
I think that there are some Chileans that I do not know personally, but that work with the universities. There might be musician or writers, but I don't know either of any.
No.
Any particular.
No, I don't.
Cultural center or events or. I don't know.
I went once to to a celebration of the Chilean Day of Independence, and it was really nice, but I didn't make a more kind of deeper connections there with other people.
Right. In what ways, if any, do you feel you've moved away from your culture or your home identity?
You know what? I think I suffered this fear of losing my identity when I was in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I felt that I was losing my Chilean accent, that was difficult. When I came here, and I have already 14 years here, I felt sometimes that I was losing my Spanish, you know, when you don't remember a word. How do you say this in Spanish? And that was also scary. But basically, I think I am the kind of person who is willing all the time to learn something new. And I love to know people from other places. And I like to be transformed by the experience of meeting other people. I think it makes us more what is the human race meant to be. Then one thing I love about this country and I love about New York is that you can find people from all over the world. I think it's so rich and so wonderful. Then it seemed to me that I am not afraid of losing anything at this point of my life. I am more willing to receive. Then I am not concerned about losing.
Okay.
I never thought about this, but it is, it's basically what I feel.
Okay, that's a good answer. Are there concerns you have about, at this point, about your home country or friends and family back home?
You know what? Always politics is a concern. You know, I feel that Chile right now is an example for the entire world in terms of coming back to democracy after so many years of this terrible dictatorship. And I am really amazed how things can turn around. But I also realize that because of the coup, I lost my innocence, mm-hmm. in the sense that things are not permanent and you have to be careful. But the economics is always a concern, mm-hmm. because right now, for example, with the war, I know that this economical situation in Chile, which is already fragile, mm-hmm. can become very damaged. In relation with Mexico, I feel always, and particularly now, knowing that the economical situation is really bad, a deep concern for people I know. And because in some way I was closer to the communities in Mexico, mm-hmm. than in Chile. I would say even more concerned about the poverty. I know that there are people who don't eat, you know, have mm-hmm. no food. Mm-hmm. And I am always thinking that it's just painful just to think, you know,
mm-hmm.
and feeling somehow impotent not to be able to be a source of support for people.
Right. Yeah. You made me think about, especially, you know, when we live in a country like this, you know, how sometimes we wish that there was, you know, more servitude that we could offer.
Absolutely.
Around, you know, the
Absolutely.
World or places like that.
And you know, one thing that is terrible, disturbing for me is the consumism in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced poverty in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I know what poverty is in other people's lives. And when I see how much is waste here, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, and also make me angry to see that there is such a blindness about how our actions are affect others.
Right.
You know, the way we waste the energy, we waste the paper, we waste so
right.
many things. Yeah.
We don't see, a lot of times we don't see consequences very clearly.
Absolutely
yeah.
not. And
yeah.
I feel that the consequences are kind of growing and growing like a huge hill,
mm.
but we don't see it until, who knows, that something terrible happened
right.
suddenly. Yeah.
Scary.
Well, the other thing is we don't see the consequences, because I believe that other people who are in Mexico and Chile or other places are paying for the consequences.
Right, right.
Then we are unaware, we are protected, you know, the consequences of
right.
our own actions.
Okay, this is a much lighter question. Do you have a favorite holiday here to observe or celebrate?
Christmas is, I would say, is the favorite time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I feel that it is as a Christian, it's such a soft,
mm-hmm.
loving way that we can see God
mm-hmm.
coming as a baby. You know, when
right.
the you just cannot stop smiling to a baby,
uh-huh.
and at the other, and that is just wonderful. But at the other side, I feel that our celebration is so much exploded in terms of the sellings, and that is gross.
Yeah, the consumerism that you talked about.
It's just so, and it's taking something that is so sacred
mm-hmm.
for Christians to make it a business, you know.
Right.
The lesson last week in Sunday was about Jesus going to the temple and expulsing,
mm-hmm.
taking away the, no, riding away, driving away
oh, mm-hmm.
the merchants
the
that were selling animals and exchanging money in the temple. And in some ways, like a society, have brought the market to the temple,
mm.
you know, make it.
Make
a business.
Right. Make a business out of the sacred.
Yeah. But to me, that is a time of hope, and also personally, it is a time of miracles,
mm-hmm.
but miracles of good, you know, of helping, serving,
right.
and loving others.
Okay. I'm going to switch the tape side now. Okay, side two, tape one, side two. Well, is Philadelphia now home for you?
Yes, it is home.
Mm-hmm.
It's in, what makes makes a place home for me is people.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have people here now mm-hmm. that I love, and they are so close to me. It's like having a big extended family,
uh-huh.
you know, with friends and my church. And uh-huh. then it's home.
Okay.
But I have homes in other places too. Wow. Then, yeah, my heart is divided,
mm.
unfortunately. And I do believe, strongly believe, that heaven is to be together.
Uh-huh.
Then it's the place where we are going to be together.
Mm.
I will not be away from my family or my husband's family who is in Minnesota mm. or people in Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, that's heaven.
Wow. When did Philly start to feel like one of your homes?
Probably when I walked the streets around here and I was not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
When I just came here, I remember we drove through this through the community, and I was crying just to think that my husband was going to be around walking and visiting a place that we didn't know, people we didn't know. And that was scary.
Mm-hmm.
But once we start walking around and we felt no fear, I felt no fear, then that was home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when did that
How long
a year?
Oh, I
after,
think less than
or?
That.
Mm-hmm.
Less than that. I can mention one experience that for me, I suppose it was transforming. We came here in September of 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And that Christmas was the first activity that we have in church. And we were putting, my husband and I were setting the tree, the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us were very upset because the tree was falling. Our little girl that was 2.5 was running, taking uh-huh. things and so forth. And suddenly we heard in the door, somebody knocking the door. And we went to open, and there were 3 or 4 little kids and say, "We live at the corner, can we help you?" And that was to me, I felt first they were angels, just uh-huh. to be sent. Later on I realized they were not angels.
they were just children.
Kids, but loving kids.
Uh-huh.
And they became the first people who came to this church, and they made home.
Okay.
Right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
As much as you know, do you plan to stay in Philadelphia or?
Yes, mm-hmm. for now. You know, pastors can be, we can go to different places. Always I would like to go, my husband and I actually would like to go to Latin America
mm-hmm.
and live there. But you know what, life is so short that we realize that we don't have many more years to
mm-hmm.
left to work, and we had to decide realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Then, at least for now, we plan to be here,
mm-hmm.
Basically because of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We will be here as long as we are serving
right.
in a church.
And when you say church, that extends to community.
Community, yes, yes, basically.
Yeah, you're not
yeah.
talking about
this little group
physical,
of people. Group.
Physical place.
No, no,
you're
no.
talking
no.
about what you.
People.
Yeah, the people.
Basically, yeah, it's not walls, it's uh-huh. people, you know.
Right.
People, yeah. And uh-huh. the same with home, you know. To me, home is people.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So, how do you describe yourself here in the U.S.? Like, if I say, what are you? Or if somebody, you meet a stranger, what are you? Or
oh God, I am as I said before, I am a Latin American woman who lives in this country and is giving some kind of different flavor to this country,
mm-hmm.
and I think I am
I don't know how to say it, giving something good to this country,
mm-hmm.
and helping for other, helping others to have their voices
mm-hmm.
here,
mm-hmm.
in terms of giving their good also.
Right.
I believe in some way I am also like a connection between different groups, racial groups, like in terms of being a Latin American woman married with a white man,
mm-hmm.
who can go to from both places
mm-hmm.
with some level of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Even the African American community, because, you know, my baby is African American,
mm-hmm.
and I did my internship in an African American community,
mm-hmm.
then I believe that I am in some way like a bridge
mm-hmm.
between different groups. Can be also social groups, economically, mm-hmm. socio-economical groups. I think I can go in different directions mm-hmm. kind of easily.
Right. If somebody asks you, you know, like when we fill out the census, or, you know, when you have to mark in mm-hmm. one word or one phrase, what do you prefer to be in terms of the category?
You know what? I don't know, and I think this is personal. I mm-hmm. like the word Latin American.
Okay.
I normally put Hispanic, but Hispanic is a new word for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't exist in Mexico or Chile.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call yourself Hispanic.
Right.
Then, and Hispanic talked to me about language.
Mm-hmm.
Latin American is more hard, but it's a very personal way to say things.
Definitely.
You know?
Because there's Latino. Some people still will call themselves Spanish.
That's right.
Here, a lot of Puerto Ricans.
I don't feel because Spanish. I associate Spanish mm-hmm. with being from Spain,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I feel I am not from Spain. Then I don't know.
Right, and some people prefer Hispanic. Some think that Latinos too politicized.
Really,
we have the same issue
between
Mexican Americans and Chicanos.
Yeah, but to me, you know, you can be Latin American and be born in here, like
mm-hmm.
a Chicano and Latin American, then it's more inclusive.
Right.
But I know it's not that there is a clear definition.
Right.
Other
right.
people understand in different ways.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's
but
no agreement.
But I like this sense of inclusiveness that I feel is in the Latin American description.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. So what does that mean? What does being then Latin American mean to you in this country as an identity?
Well, first it gave me a sense of belongingness
mm-hmm.
and like a reference.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need references.
I guess a better way to ask this is, how do you act, or what are examples of your Latin Americanness in this setting in the United States?
Hmm. You know, I feel that my life is dedicated to serve Latin American people.
Mm-hmm.
This is one way, very concrete way, you know,
mm-hmm.
how I express my Latin and my identity, my mm-hmm. background.
That's a very difficult question. I should think about that, because, you know, a lot of we are, you know, we don't necessarily think about, you know, what makes me Latino or Latina.
Yeah. It is so much in yourselves that
and in a lot of ways, the things that we're talking about are expressions of that.
Yeah.
So this
just
might not be a good
the use of the language,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about what is the term you touched about this? The term Latino mean to you? Latino, Latina.
It
it's, you know, to me, it's the mix of Argentinians and Chileans and Guatemalans and mm-hmm. Mexicans and Chicanos, and this is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
The mix mm-hmm. of this diversity.
Okay.
That is very much alive and changing and uh-huh. expressive and rich.
And then Hispanic, you mentioned, that means more like reference to a common language, like root language.
I think, yeah, it is for me, mm-hmm. yeah. I hear it more like related to the language.
And I ask that just to get a sense of what different people think about these, because there's no agreement, and it's just interesting to hear the record,
you
the
know,
diversity.
I believe it is very interesting to hear for you, because if you are born in this country
mm-hmm.
and you hear all the time Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
that has a meaning for you.
Right.
For me, that word came when I moved to this country, then mm-hmm. it's very, in some ways, foreign for
mm-hmm,
me,
mm-hmm.
then I attribute something that is given to us, that is that it doesn't come from us.
Right.
Yeah. Then, this is what I say, it's very personal the mm-hmm. way you assume that word, no?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. How do you feel similar or different to Latinos that you work with different backgrounds?
I feel similar and different,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I believe we are so unique
uh-huh.
as Chicano
uh-huh.
and or Mexican. We have such a history behind,
mm-hmm.
and we are very unique. At the same time, we are very similar
mm-hmm.
in, I think, in our concerns, in our struggles, in our hopes. Then I think it's both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you feel Latinos or Latin Americans have to offer Philadelphia?
You know, I was thinking when I moved from Chile to Mexico, I was so delighted, so impressed with the sense of color of Mexico.
Mm.
And the for me, it was such a gift from Mexico to receive that opening, you know, to mm-hmm. light and color. And I think this is something that Mexico has to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unique to Mexico. It's not that other countries don't have colors, but coming from Chile, where we are very kind of to the dark side of the
mm-hmm.
scale of colors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a discovery for me.
Oh, wow.
And I believe that as a Latin Americans in general, we have this sense of family that is very powerful, and I think it is rich and life-saver that we can offer
mm-hmm.
to this community. I believe also that it's not perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, we fail in that also, but there is some richness there, that some sense of humanity
mm-hmm.
that this country needs, when we can give some kind of balance
right.
in being individuals and being a group.
Right.
Our language,
mm-hmm.
the beauty of our language, you know, the poetry of our language. Just the diversity of colors of our skins and all the backgrounds, I think it's a tremendous gift for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Our young people, you know, we have so many children, that each one of them is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I can say more things, but
mm-hmm.
Probably if we go place by place, we can, the sense of music,
mm-hmm.
you know, the musical, the richness of all of our countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I am thinking of Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Kena,
mm-hmm.
Where do you hear this deep, deep sound of the mountains, you know, the solitude of the mountains? Mm-hmm. And then wherever you go, you have so much good to give. Mm-hmm. And we bring that with us. I believe also that we bring a lot of intelligence in the sense of how many professionals from our countries come to this country. And this is a really, it is unfortunate for our countries because we lose sometimes people who have been educated there.
Mm-hmm.
In myself, no? I went to college and all my basic education, Chile and Mexico, and then I am here now. And that is unfair. I know for the fact that one of the ways that our countries lose resources is through education of their people.
Right.
Because after they leave, they don't want to come back. And that is,
human
we suffer.
Resources.
Absolutely. And if you count that in terms of money, it is tremendous, tremendously meaningful.
Right.
And it is the same dilemma that we have in our poor communities here,
mm-hmm.
where people who become more successful tend to leave instead of coming back and investing themselves to return to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I don't know if I...
It's a similar model. No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is very similar to... What would you like people to know who are not familiar with your community here to know?
Well, I think the first thing is to know that there are so many good people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who can be an example for any family in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this neighborhood is called the Badlands.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been fighting that because it is so diminishing for our people. And I believe that when you come here and you really look people from closer, you are going to discover that there are so much beauty and so much good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so unfair, you know, to be treated in that way.
People forget that the universal part of humanity, you know.
Absolutely. And how much people here are victims mm-hmm. of the violence, but in part that violence sometimes comes from outside too.
Right.
In the sense that we don't have the same resources, you know, to, for example, cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
We are very dispossessed in relation with more affluent communities.
Right.
And even in more gross ways, that when sometimes we know people from other places come and deposit garbage here.
Right.
You know, to use these areas as mm-hmm. a garbage.
Or come here to buy garbage.
Or buy garbage, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what are the greatest adversities in the community?
You know what? I believe that when we realize that we have value in ourselves, that we have power in ourselves, and we are able to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that sometimes we swallow this idea that we have no value,
mm-hmm.
that we are powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the deeper damage that we can have. Because if we are able to give to each other, we are healthy and we are sufficient.
Do you think that, because that seems to be present in a lot of Latino communities in the United States, do you think that part of that gets brought over and part of it gets fostered here, or do you think it just happens here, that sort of low sense of value, that low
I believe
esteem?
That it is all over, but there is a phenomenon that happened here when you come that I believe put you at risk, highly at risk of being low in terms of self-esteem and low in terms of your possibilities to give. And I can tell you my own experience that mm-hmm. I believe it is the experience of many people who come here. When I moved to this country, I had in Mexico, before I had in Mexico, a really fulfilling position in terms of working mm-hmm. and having feeling that I have a meaning in life, and I was accepted and loved, and I have a great support system. I moved to this country without English, without friends, mm-hmm. without knowing the community, and it was scary, deeply scary, and I felt so low in my own esteem. Mm-hmm. I took the fact that I couldn't communicate with people as my defect, you know, lack of intelligence more than lack of knowledge or something. Mm-hmm. Then coming back, of course, the position that I had also was totally different mm-hmm. while I work in Mexico with the couple hundred people. Mm-hmm. Here I was not able to work with 10.
Right.
And then coming out of that place is very hard work. In many different ways, you know, since starting for learning the language, getting familiar with the surroundings, and creating your support system, and whatever, educating yourself sometimes to do the very same thing that you were doing in your place. Mm-hmm. Then it takes a lot of work, physical, intellectual, emotional work, to come back to a place that is a new place, mm-hmm. but where you are comfortable and where you can provide and give what you have. I believe that a lot of our people are not able or don't have the chances to come back to that place, mm-hmm. and they stay there in the kind of in a lower mm-hmm. position and wasting their own talents, their own lives. Mm-hmm. And then in that sense, I think this country provides like a new challenge. Mm-hmm. If you are able to come out of that place successfully, I believe that you are in a much better situation than you were before.
Right.
But not always you have the opportunities to do that. I was a privileged person mm-hmm. in the sense that I came here with documents. I had a husband who provided for me. I have a home. Mm-hmm. Then I can. It's difficult even for me to imagine what is for a woman who comes here alone or with children and with no home, with no job, with no English, with no money, with no support system. How can you come out of that hole?
Right.
Then it's challenging in that special way.
I think you explained that very, very clearly.
A part of, you know what, I didn't mention about all the stigma that exists around, you know, immigrants and people who come here mm-hmm. You become a delinquent here, you know, right. If you don't have papers, you become a delinquent right. when you can be the best person in your country.
Then,
right. Yeah.
This is similar to that. Have you personally had struggles here that have come from being an immigrant or Latino or Latina?
You know, it may be something subtle, but I think subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, learning the language. It's a big, big thing. The other thing is more subtle, is going to store and people looking, thinking that you are going to steal.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, it makes me upset and made me also feel kind of sad. And
mm-hmm.
There is a kind of a sense of being an outsider that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's I guess I always see things, I believe that things have good and have bad mm-hmm. things, you know? And in some way, being an outsider is good too. It's challenging mm-hmm. and and you learn and you become better, hopefully. But it is to be always an outsider is not also so comfortable.
What do you think marks you as an outsider? I mean, and that shift, sometimes when you're in the community, you're not an outsider because we have shared.
I believe that we are an outsider community here, you know, that we are among outsiders then. What it marks me as an outsider, well, you know, I remember, for example, going to a celebration of a friend of mine with my children and being the only Latina person with my Latina girl and my African-American little one. Then I was very much a different person to the entire community there. And it was, I clearly, and with accents, you know, in my talk and so forth, then it was very evident that I was an outsider there.
What do you consider your greatest success or triumphs to be as a person?
To have a sense of purpose and meaning in life.
What about in terms of accomplishments here in Philadelphia? Or throughout your life, it doesn't have to be here.
Well, throughout my my life, I would say in personal level, to be able to have a marriage that is healthy, not because it is perfect, but because we are able to deal with issues. Having a family, two wonderful girls, to be productive in the sense of giving something to others. To me, that is so important. It's kind of being alive. And to be willing to be transformed, you know, it's kind of staying young, that always you can learn something. And I am curious about life, and I am curious about people. I love people, and I want to know their stories. I really have curiosity, and I delight when I learn people, and I know people, and I learn about their lives. It seemed to me that life is like a miracle, everyday miracle. And when you see somebody tell you their stories, it's holy ground. It's such a privilege. Then I am surrounded by people. Then this is a place of great, I don't know, I don't have richness, you know. I receive so much.
This is similar, but what was the greatest adjustment coming to the U.S. that you've had to make?
Well, the language has been a big thing. Big one. You know, I was in Mexico very young. Then, in some way, I experienced there the adjustment of not being in my country and being an outsider, which is a big thing. When I came to the United States, I had to adjust to the diversity of being not being Anglo, but also to adjust and to learn about culture, Latin American cultures that were totally different than mine. You know, Caribbean people who are different than what Chileans are or Mexicans are. And then that was a big adjustment for me, because I came with the illusion that we were, because we spoke the same language, we were similar. And I realized that we can be so tremendously diverse. Then probably that was one of the biggest treasures for me to do, you know, to open up to new.
And you were there in New York, the, you know, like Miami and LA, the biggest centers for that. That kind of Latino diversity. Have you ever felt or experienced discrimination or alienation because you're Latina or Latin American? You mentioned one experience of being watched in the store.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, that is something that really is very clear to me. There is something that is not probably being Latina that is more related with social class, that you go to a store around here and they check your bags and they check your ticket and so forth, which they don't do in other neighborhoods.
No.
And I feel deeply discriminated for that, because of that. A part of that, it was, you know, when I just came here, I was working with an organization that was a small community organization, and through that I had to be part of other bigger organizations, and I felt very much like a minority.
Okay.
Minority, even a minority among other minorities. Then that was, it was not easy.
Okay. Are there specific people or organizations that have helped you or your family adjust to living